Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot in days of old lang syne? You know, that's a funny song to be singing. We all know the drill. I mean, tonight, if you stay awake till midnight, you know, first you'll hear everybody say, Happy New Year! Then you'll kiss somebody, and then you'll jump into Auld Lang Syne. But the song Auld Lang Syne, to me, is funny because it starts with a rhetorical question. Should old acquaintance be forgot? Should old forget, you know, relations be forgot? You know, I'll be upfront with you. The scripture is clear about one thing. In fact, the liturgy is clear about it too. And that is we are called to remember. Not to live in the past, but to rather to remember the past. To remember where we are, because if we don't, in a sense, know where we came from, then how do we know who we are? That you've got to know where you came from to really to know who you are. That is one of the secrets of life, is to realize that you've come. And that throughout the scripture, it tells us over and over again to remember. I mean, what does God say over? Remember, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You were my people. I led you out of bondage in Egypt, through the desert, into the promised land. Remember. What do we say in the Holy Eucharist at every turn? Do this in remembrance of me. We repeat things. We are not called to live into the past, but we are called to remember where we came from. To remember where we came from, to remember those things in our life that God got us through. To, in a sense, have our own track record. Saying, okay, God, you are there with me in this. Because that's what faith is built on, I believe. Faith isn't built on just a history. Faith is a gift from God. But faith is built on remembering all the times that God got you through things, got you to the other side. The darkest nights of your life were when that light came in and led you through it. When you had that loss, those losses that were great in any number of areas of your life, that it was God that led you through it, that he was there with you, that he was present with you every step of the way. To remember. You know, I'm convinced after being a priest for as long as it seems like I just got ordained the other day, but you know, the two things I'm convinced of is that there are two things that usually dominate people. One is either fear, but the other one is trust. Fear is, in a sense, that suspicion that there's not enough. And so you operate always as if, I've got to do it myself, I've got to handle it. Trust, though, on the other hand, is where you have the confidence that there is an abundance. And that you live out of either one or the other or somewhere in between. But the more you live into trust, the more you really begin to live. Where you say, God is there for me, he's not against me. But you got to do that by remembering. By remembering, because it's in remembering that the fear dissipates and goes away. It's by the remembering that you, in a sense, recover what you had since the very beginning. To remember. You know, the gospel we have today is an interesting gospel. It's the beginning of the gospel of John. It's called the prologue. And in the gospel of John, it's quite interesting because it starts out, if you notice, the exact same way as the book of Genesis starts, in the beginning. And the writer of the book of John did that on purpose. Most scholars believe today that part of, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is actually a hymn that was used in the early church. But then the writer of John took it, broke it up, and inserted the parts that he wanted to about, you know, John the Baptist coming to testify to the light and all that, but split up the hymn. It starts off with, in beginning was the Word. The Word isn't a word like the words I'm saying right now. The Word was an eternal expression, an eternal thought that was there. That was always there. The Greeks understood that. The Hebrews understood that. And it was there because it was always there. It was that presence that always was there. It's that part of you that says inside, I never really turn off. You know that part in you that says, I don't ever know when it's done? I mean, I guarantee all of you have that part in you at one point or another where you say, I just wish it would stop sometimes. But there's always that part where you say, no, I know I'm conscious. I know I'm there. You know, the reading of it goes real clearly. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. You see, God wanted us to remember that he was in the beginning, and he was with his Son. And his Son and he were together. They were both God, and they were both together, and they were there. And all things were created through him. Nothing came into being without him. You know, that's a powerful statement, because what that says is that when God created it all, he saw that it was so good, he just couldn't keep it for himself. You know, when things are that good, you just can't keep it for yourself. And some of the dynamic that I believe, besides remembering, that you've got to realize is that as we go into 2018, we've got to realize that, you know, when it is that good, when we do remember, that you can't keep it from yourself. That there's got to be a sense of generosity, because we are created in the image of God. And that Word, that eternal Word, that eternal thought, that eternal expression tells us very clearly, you know what? When it's this good, I just got to share it with somebody. That the light was so powerful that it created life. And in that light and in that life, I had to give it away. Isn't that what those of you who know recovery learn? You know? The two things you remember. You got to remember where you came from, because you don't want to go back there sometimes. But you got to remember where you are, because you never want to forget, lest you go back into the same places where you got yourself into trouble with. But you also have to give it away to keep it. You know, so often in times when we get something good, we think, it's mine, I'm not giving it anywhere. Why do we do that? Because it comes from that suspicion that there's not enough. But when we really do give it away, all of a sudden we really have it. And it keeps coming back to us. And it becomes more alive than ever before. You know, the part that I love in this scripture is, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. If you translate the Greek there, to tell you the truth, it doesn't say, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. You know what it says? It says, and the Word became flesh and pitched his tent with us. Pitched his tent with us. I'll never forget years ago, talking to a psychologist, and he said, you know, if you want to really do something to get to know your family, to get to know the people around with you, you need to do just one thing. And I was thinking, the psychologist was going to say, come and see me, you know? You know what he said? He said, if you really want to get to know someone else, go camping with them. Because when you're in that tent, you'll really get to know them. And it's within that sense of the pitching the tent that was the illustration that the writer of John wanted to get back to. Because what happened? When God leads the nation of Israel out of Egypt, out of their bondage, what does he do? He leads them into the desert. And they live as nomads in the desert for 40 years in tents. And what happens after Moses goes up onto the mountain and he gets the Ten Commandments and he comes down and he's got to meet with God? What does he do? He meets in a tent. And the presence of the Lord is in that tent. You see, God pitches his tent in your life. God pitches his tent in you. God pitches his tent in your community. The question is, do you pay attention to him or not? And if you do pay attention to them, if you do realize it, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, if you realize that, then you also realize that His glory is greater than anything we have. The intimacy He gives us to God is greater than anything else. And then all of a sudden, from that glory, the grace and truth that is there gives us, as the Scripture says, from His fullness, we have received grace upon grace, which is the very thing that gives us the faith that we have. It's the very thing that makes us lead our lives in the direction of the light and not in the dark. You see, God's with you. As you go into this new year, I pray that you realize it more clearly than you've ever done before. God's with you. But the question is this year, will you be motivated more from fear or more from trust? Will you be motivated more from the suspicion that there's not enough, so I better hold on to it? Because that will stop the very thing that you were created to be. Giving it away so you can keep it. Or will you be motivated from the sense of trust, where you know there's an abundance. I got to give it away so I can get even more. You know, this past Friday, I had the direct pleasure to do the wedding of two people who I've grown really close to. I'm not going to tell you who they are because they're in the congregation right now. But part of the wedding service that I've always loved is the part where you exchange rings. Because in the exchange of the rings in the wedding service, what you do is you say the other person's name, and you say their name, and then you say, I give you this ring, and with all that I am and all that I have, I honor you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. With all that I am and all that I have. You know, giving away what you have sometimes is fairly easy. Giving away who you are is not so easy. But that's what God calls you to do. Because you see, if you don't share yourself with others, if you don't share the presence of God that is within you with others, then you probably won't keep it. You'll probably somehow dissolve it and smother it with inside yourself. But when you give away all that you are to the people who cross your path, to the family that you have, when you finally get on that journey where you say, you know, I want to learn how to trust, because I'm going to step out there and try and be with the people that are in my life, learn how to trust. And all of a sudden, not only do you learn how to trust yourself more and learn how to trust the other person more, you know what happens? You learn how to trust God more. Because if you can't trust God, you can't do it with yourself or with the other person. And it's there that you have given what God desires the most. What does He say? You know what? Gold and silver I don't care about. Burnt offerings I don't care about. But a broken and contrite heart, that's what I want. As you enter 2018, I pray that you remember. Not go into the past and live in the past, but remember what God did for you throughout your entire life. And then from there, give it away. Be generous. Be generous of yourself. Because then the light comes into your life like never before, and you will receive life and life in all its fullness. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? The answer is no. All acquaintances need to be remembered, learned from, grown through, and trusted in God for. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.